What's up, everybody? It is the Kicking and Screaming reunion here on a Spotlight on AfterBuzz TV. We're going to get the whole cast, well, not all of them, but a lot of them here, and we're going to get it going. Let's get it.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Hey.
Yeah.
That brings back memories. No.
The jungle. Woo!
You guys like this song? Does it remind you of the jungle?
No.
No, not at all.
I wish I would have heard a song in the jungle.
No music.
No music.
Just actual jungle noises.
It's just Terry's bad singing.
Yeah, baby.
I think what reminds me.
Terry, the singer? You the singer?
No. Maybe in my sleep. Maybe
I was going to say, I was going to see you bust some tunes.
Me.
No, no, no. Oh, man. What's up, everybody? This is a special spotlight on here at AfterBuzz TV. We are doing a Kicking and Screaming show reunion. Super excited. We got so many cast members here. We're going to do this for like the next hour and a half. We're going to have half the people in now and half the people coming in later because there's so many of them here. It's crazy. We can't fit them all in the studio. But I'm your host, Lemmy Gonzalez, and you can always find me at The Poet Saint all day, every day, all social media handles. Right next to me, and we're going to give claps for everybody because, you know, that's how we do on this show. So right next to me is the etiquette coach extraordinaire.
Yes.
Miss Elaine Swan.
Yes.
Hey.
The beautiful.
Next to her is a former beauty pageant winner. Still beautiful. Miss Claire Yoh.
Oh, yes.
Yes. And ladies and gentlemen, she's familiar at AfterBuzz because we did a spotlight on with just her, but she got all her peoples with her. Mm-hmm. It's the gamer herself, Miss Natalie Casanova.
Yeah, my partner. Yeah.
Yes. Must say, still in the game, actually, for that money. Yes.
Yeah, sure,
and over on the couch, we got these brothers over here.
Yeah, baby.
Holding it down. All the way over this way, we got my boy Jason White.
Yeah. All right. Hey.
The Marine veteran.
Yeah,
Marine
baby.
Veteran. This colored fellow right here.
With not
all
sure
his
what that
colors.
Means.
All his colors.
What do you mean,
that's
colors?
What I'm talking about.
I don't know, man. I don't know.
He's like, what does that mean?
I don't know.
Part of the crew?
I got nothing, man.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's Terry Fossum.
All right.
And last but not least,
yay,
the Marine Scout Sniper Vet himself,
yeah,
ladies and
baby.
Gentlemen. Mr. Brady Cervantes.
Yeah, Brady.
Glad to be here.
Yes. So excited. This is like the first time you guys have seen each other all in the same room since the show aired?
Some of us have seen each other a couple times, but it's been a long time. So
wow.
Yeah.
So this is a real reunion.
This is a reunion.
It's awesome.
So it's going down tonight after
we get going down tonight.
And it's my birthday, so.
Oh, hey, yeah.
Happy birthday.
Oh,
yeah. It's his birthday.
Yeah.
Yes.
And
yes.
Brady's birthday was a few days ago.
Yeah.
Birthday's all around.
I like that.
Wait,
time out. Mine's on the 9th.
Close
it.
Mine's in January.
Yeah.
We're just going to shout out all the birthdays.
Yeah. Birthday's here.
Yeah. So let's get into this. So obviously, you know, reunion show. This is Kicking and Screaming. The season finale is tomorrow on Fox at 9, 8 Central. Tomorrow being Thursday. And there's 3 more teams left. In the hopes of winning $500,000, which is basically $500,000.
Yeah.
It's a lot of money.
Sounds
like a lot more when you say half a million.
Right.
It sounds cool, right? Yeah.
Especially
now,
before taxes.
Yeah.
Correct.
Come down to about 10 grand. Taxes.
Yeah.
So Natalie and Terry are still in the running,
which is
amazing.
Yeah.
So we will see them tomorrow on the finale. So I want to talk to you all first because since you're still in this competition, there's been, obviously you went together and we're going to get into a lot because there's so much that happened, obviously, that we didn't see. Mm-hmm. I really want to know about that jungle that we were talking about because it looked crazy. And
it wasn't like you guys got wild,
we're going to shoot and then we're going to go to a hotel.
You guys were
like sleeping there. But I want to talk to you all first and tell me about your experience because, you know, there was some times you guys kind of butted heads a little bit early on in the show.
Heck yeah.
And then you kind of came together and had a come to Jesus moment and
absolutely
got your hair braided by Elaine over here and you were good to go. So Natalie, you start.
Well, I mean, Terry and I are like not total opposites, but we're very, very different.
Mm-hmm.
And so there was naturally going to be some, you know, butting heads and you know, I think we're both leaders, so that's always tough when you're coming into a partnership, you know, like working as a team, and you're just like, as Terry likes to say, storming, through the phase of storming. Yeah. And then it was honestly one of the best lessons I learned. I mean, you can always find a happy medium and like work together with somebody towards a common goal, no matter how different you are. So
okay.
Yeah. Good experience for me.
What do you think, Terry?
No, absolutely. In fact, the way the show is set up, they kind of try to set you up for failure. Because their job was to set you up with your polar opposite. Mm-hmm. Now, they didn't exactly succeed here because we found a commonality right off the bat in that we're both into charitable causes. Mm-hmm. And so instead of focusing on the differences, we focused on the similarities. Mm. And, you know, who cares about the differences? When you got something like that, let's focus on that.
Right.
And, yeah, sure enough, we're going to fight. We're going to storm. The question is, how do you get through that?
Right.
Any organization goes through those four stages of team development. The question is, how do you get through storming? If you can get through it with respect and love and caring, then you can go to performing, which is the only way in the world that we actually made it to the final three.
Wow. You know, and I think that's so true, because I think that's what happened with everyone. We all are so different from each other. Mm-hmm. But I think that's how the teams are able to survive, is that we all found something in common with one another and we grasped onto that and then moved forward. And so you'll see, for those who are watching, you see that happen. Yes. Yeah. So that's so true.
And I'm glad you point that out, because there's definitely, I mean, you guys are strangers when you come together. And like you said, there are a lot of opposites. You have people who are trained in doing these type of survival type things, and then you have the novices who, you know, probably never been outside. Yeah. Like, you were like, I'm outside, guys.
I'm outside.
Outside.
What is this outside weather? Like, it's trees and stuff. Like, you know. So, I mean, and, really and like graphics. you said, it sets you up to fail, so you kind of have to find a way. Mm-hmm. It's like a show within the show, right?
Yeah.
Because
absolutely.
You have the competition aspect, but then it's the show within the show of you coming together with your partner and making that work.
Well, and the amazing thing to me was the novices, as they called them to begin with. Because now, wait a minute, these guys, they don't go in the outdoors.
Right.
They were in a jungle, sleeping on the ground, not eating. What we ate was nasty. Mm-hmm. You know, I was insanely impressed with these people. Insanely impressed. In fact, after the third night in the jungle, it was kind of fun, because I got to make them all honorary Boy Scouts, honorary members of Troop 400. And now they all have a neckerchief and everything. Nice. And but they deserved it.
Right.
Because they earned it, man. To be out there, that's pretty hardcore.
It was hard.
Super hardcore.
Yeah.
It was hard.
Claire, what was that outdoors like? I mean, you guys were sleeping on the ground,
eating bugs.
No showers.
You're like a former beauty pageant winner.
Yeah.
That doesn't really go well with what you're about.
No, not at all. This is really difficult for me. I don't know. I just think you took it day by day. Brady always taught me, you know, one task at a time. So you always just try to get through it one day at a time. Just hope you were there till the end. So, yeah, it was really hard.
Really tough.
Really tough.
Really tough. Now, Brady, you know, you all were partners. You being, you know, in the military and, you know, decorated and all of that, was this still difficult for you being out in the wilderness like it was?
I think the difficulty came in the bonding between the partners. You never knew it was going to come the next day. You know, you don't know what challenges there's going to be. But, you know, like I told Claire, you know, one task at a time, 100%. And you just take it day by day, step by step, until you get to a routine. Once you find that routine, it makes it a lot easier to communicate, for one. That was a big thing that, you know, she helped me with, I'm not going to lie. But because my communication skills are different plane than Claire's communication skills. And to find that common ground that we did, I mean, it was great. And I think for the biggest thing, if I had to narrow it down, it had to be communication.
So if you communicated well, you did well, basically.
Yeah.
Okay. Speaking of communication, Jason and Elaine, you all were partners. And you guys, I thought you had good communication. I wanted to talk about the heart-wrenching previous episode when you all got eliminated and you made Natalie take her braids out, which was... I was like,
wait,
she
hold
take
on.
Her braids
she
out?
Didn't make them take them out. Yeah. I actually asked if it would make her feel better.
Yes!
And she actually said, it's whatever. But like they like cut from something else. But she was like, whatever.
I was so the focused on the conversation. Yeah. Thank you, Natalie, because I just want everyone to know I did not make Natalie take her braids.
You made her.
No, she didn't. I did it because I didn't want.
She whipped them out real quick, though.
She whipped them out.
I didn't want her to be upset.
Right, and I was so focused on kind of getting my point across and being able to share what I was feeling. Right. I was her taking the braids out. Now later on, I was all okay. Yeah, no, you. Actually, you don't get to be cute and take. So, was I glad that she took them out? Mm-hmm. Yes, it did make me feel better. So, she was doing that to make me feel better. Okay. And I appreciate it.
Now, did you. Okay. I know that you felt like, you know, it all was spun because in that episode, you felt like you were ganged upon, you and your partner.
I was ganged up on. Okay. No, I didn't feel like it. I was.
You was.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, but that's part of the game. Okay. I mean, the thing about this thing is it really could have gone either way. Mm-hmm. You know, for example, if the tables were turn, we would have done the exact same thing. Okay. So, yes, I was ganged up on, but that's what the game is. And so, when you think about people who are playing professional sports or whatever, when they're in a game and they're losing, they're not losing happily, and that's exciting. No, if you're on the basketball court, you're going to talk smack, you're going to do whatever. And so, in the moment, it's frustrating when you're losing. Who likes to lose?
No one likes to lose.
No
one likes to lose. Jason,
so I was losing. Yeah,
okay. Did you think you were ganged up on as well?
Well, I thought it was a good strategy on the part of Terry and Ben and Natalie and Juliana. Either way, first off, Brady and myself were both Marines. Terry and Ben were both Air Force. It was just bound to happen. We talked about it on the beach, Brady and I. Yeah, if we get a chance, we're going to take them both out. And then me and Brady and our teams will be in the finals together. And how fun would that be for the Marine Corps? But that's not the way it was. So, yeah, it's just part of the game, like Elaine said. And I don't fault these guys at all for doing what they did. And they played a heck of a game. And they were very sportsmanlike about it. And at the end of it, we hugged and kissed. And we're all still friends. And it's going to be a good night.
Hey, Jason, I don't remember kissing you. I'm just saying. I don't
remember that part. It's like, I
all of the show.
I remember that. I do want to say, Elaine, that I want to commend you because it seemed like you went from 0 to 60 in a good way, because you know you came in, you're this etiquette coach, you're like, I'm not trying to get dirty,
that's right,
what's going on here? And then you like, I mean, I remember the challenge where you had to eat the bat wings,
yes,
and you like ate it like it was something great,
like a champ,
like a boss,
stone
like
cold,
like yeah, the boss that I am. I just went to my place and I said, you know what, I'm here to win this money.
The best way to describe that bat wing, it was like an inner tube. It was like a rubber inner tube trying to chew through. You
it was
chew
it.
The hair on
it.
I can't even imagine. And it was hairy?
Yeah, it was hairy.
There was hair
fuzz on it.
So I didn't want to think about it. I just thought, you know what, what? And you know, that's what I did the entire time I was there. Every challenge I was asked to do, I did it. And I did. And then I was mad already that I had to eat it. So I said, I'm not going to let them see me squirm. I'm not going to say. That was my, I was not.
You were in Zen mode.
Yeah.
I said, remember seeing it.
I'm going to do this and no one's going to see me squirm or squeal or scream or anything like that. So I just did.
And she was very quietly praying to Jesus.
I was like, God, you made this bat wing, so it's good.
You made this.
Now, speaking of partners with you two, obviously vastly different, right?
Very different.
You can tell even in previous season you were praying for people. You definitely have no problem talking about your faith. And then we have Jason, who's not faithful. I'm joking. No sense of faith whatsoever. No.
Gotcha.
But I want to bring back to that episode when you all did get eliminated. And I thought it was a really good thing because it really showed what the show could do. And you were speaking about that as well, when two people from opposite sides come together. And you even said it yourself in your, I don't know exactly what you said, but it was something to the sense of, you know, you have this person who's very religious, very Pentecostal, and you have me who's this, you know, gay Marine, and we came together and we made it work and we did a good job. Mm-hmm. Tell me, when you said that on camera, what were you feeling in that moment?
Well, it was kind of a touchy moment for me. So much of the show is all about what they didn't show behind the scenes was we really had to survive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We had to find food. Yeah. We built fish traps and crab traps, and we used our trot lines, and we caught shark, and we all ate it. Well, most of us ate it. So there was really a survival aspect there that, you know, they just weren't able to edit in because there's only so much time in the day and there's so many episodes. So we understand that. But at that moment in time, you know, it really grabbed my heart for the fact that, you know, Elaine and I, coming from two very different backgrounds, not having known each other, came together, and she was a trooper. I would tell her, hey, we're not going to focus on the nasty water. We're not going to focus on the lily pads and the snakes and whatever else is in that water. We're going to focus on the finish line and getting across, and we're just going to go. And she would do it. Mm-hmm. And then we get to another challenge. Okay, well, you know, I think you should do this, and I'll do this, and then we'll come together. And we just – we work together, and we were in unison for so much of it. And so for me, it was the end of that journey, mm-hmm. which really kind of tore me up. It wasn't that – you know, we didn't win the $500,000. It wasn't that we didn't get to stay in the jungle another week or so. It was the fact that our journey together at that particular point in life was done. Mm. And because I had such a great time with her. Mm. She taught me a lot about myself. We had a lot of personal conversations, especially on beautiful Turtle Island, about our own, you know, about our own insecurities and things that we're dealing with. And so... she was a mentor, a friend, a counselor, and I was losing that aspect of our friendship at that particular moment. And so that's why I said, you know, here in the world you have a 48-year-old black Pentecostal mm-hmm. etiquette coach right. partnered with a Southern white gay Marine bar owner, and we did as well as we did, mm-hmm. and we got along so well. And so that should be an inspiration for all the generations out there to understand it's not black or white, it's not rich or poor, it's about people.
Absolutely.
It's about, we're all people, and that's
absolutely.
What's important.
I think that's right. really good. I think that's a really good sentiment.
I love you, Jungle.
Oh, I give a love. Leave your hearts up. Hearts
up.
And see, and all that happened, and we still never had to cuddle for it.
Yeah. Oh, really? Really?
Really? Was that a dig at your partner?
Oh, yeah. I feel like it's a dig at me specifically.
The cuddling. Speaking of that.
I'm
glad it was a great segue because you did my job for me.
Yeah.
So
welcome.
Natalie. We didn't you kind of prefaced this when you were here last time, but I didn't see it yet in the episodes. But so first of all, when it all went down, and when I say down, like down in the dumps. when it went down and he basically, I thought, really dissed you hard. And I felt for you in that moment. I just want to know the true deal, because obviously editing, they try to make things, you know, a certain way. But I want to know the true deal. Did you really have feelings for him?
To be fair, like, yes. I'm in a vulnerable situation. I've barely been outside right. and definitely haven't been without my computer or cell phone for mm-hmm. that long. And I was just not my normal self. I feel like in real life I would never be attracted to him.
Okay.
Maybe we'd be friends. But in that situation... one of the things that happened was we got along really well, and more so than a lot of the other people on the show. We had a lot of like similar interests, and I know like pretty much everybody on the show had some sort of religion or like they believed in God, and like there was a few of us, Max, myself, and I believe Ben, who were not. So oftentimes we're all like huddling in our own little thing when they're talking about whatever, but we never had any like fights or anything about it. We were very like, everybody was like
respectful.
Big happy family and
yeah.
very respectful. Mm-hmm. But that was just one thing among many things that made me feel like we were closer, and I felt like really vulnerable. And obviously I was single, very single at the time, and I was, you know, a month without, actually they didn't show this on the show at all, but I had talked about it. I'm very hypersexual.
Oh.
And it's a big part of my channel on YouTube and Twitch. I make, you know, dirty jokes left and right. It's just kind of who I am. And so for me to be without, like, any kind of romantic interest for that long, mm-hmm. I definitely felt more attracted to him than I would have been in a normal situation. And producers, like, getting those questions to be like, hey, so do you think he likes you? Mm-hmm. Like, oh, I heard that, you know, this and that. And so then it's like, of course I'm being kind of like, I had gone to think that he likes me more than than he maybe did and stuff. But, you know, on the show, I liked him a lot as, you know, someone that I was interested in. But now afterwards, it's like I don't have that feeling at all. Like, I mean, we're friends. We're all friends.
But you mean when you say after like the taping was done?
Yeah, we talked a little bit afterwards. We kind of talked about it. And then that was it. We were friends ever since. And nothing ever happened afterward. And no,
Ben's also a charmer.
To y'all's
defense, yeah. Ben is a charmer.
He just has that way about him, and he's a really nice guy. Like he really, honestly, I guarantee you, did not want to hurt Natalie, but he knew that he had to step up and tell her, you know. And it did kind of suck. Like watching it, I was like, "Ouch!"
Did you guys? Yeah. I mean, obviously, you guys saw it on camera, but do you guys see it in person happening? Yeah.
Oh, well,
I thought everybody had a crush on Natalie.
Yeah,
for sure. Like, it was very obvious.
Yeah.
What I was referring to is when he actually, you know, hit the friend zone.
No.
But,
oh, no.
I think they went I think
that was the point, was
we
to do it away from everybody, yeah. So okay. It was less, because I knew that it was probably not going to be a thing.
Okay.
So I was like, let me get him away from everybody and ask him. That way, it's not as embarrassing if the answer is no. Uh-huh. You know.
But do you all now? Question to you all: do you think that he was leading her? I mean, you said he's a charmer.
Yes. I think
he
was leading her. 100%. Yes, I vote yes.
You vote yes. Lane's like, I know what that is.
I think he. Yeah.
You
two,
you say yes.
Yeah. I'd have to admit the door.
Why cuddle with her or make her feel like?
I mean. The door swings both ways on relationships like that, and at the end of the day, you know, the best thing, and they're still friends.
And the best thing is honestly, it opened me up to being vulnerable and talking to people again, and now I've been with my serious boyfriend for, like, almost 8 months, and we live together. We're going to, like, eventually get married. Like, I'm really happy now.
It's well, nice. You heard it here first on AfterBuzz, right? Here.
We're not
here
engaged
first.
Yet.
Did you just I don't know, man. Okay. That's what I heard.
That's what well, I heard.
Don't be crawfish right
he
now.
He would say that we're pretty much already married. That's what I'm saying. I'm very happy now, and I wasn't in that state of mind before where I would have been, like, open to, like, having feelings for somebody at all. So being in the jungle and being vulnerable and, like, opening up to somebody like that really helped me in the long run.
So it was a good thing overall. Yeah, overall. It turned into a good thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Although it wasn't great to watch it now with my boyfriend.
Awkward. Hashtag awkward.
That would be awkward. I can imagine.
Good thing Fox edited out the really, really juicy stuff.
Oh. Yeah.
Okay.
Oh.
He's joking.
Oh, I don't know. Is it juicy? No.
Like, you know, I'm gonna tell the truth now.
Yeah, I know. I feel you, Lane. Brady, you got some advice on the women front from your partner.
Not just my partner.
Yes,
Elaine as well.
Elaine as well. That's right, Elaine too. Was that warranted, or were they just like, bruh, let me tell you something?
I mean, I think it was a little bit of both.
Okay.
It was like. Okay. Lane's like, come here, child. Like, let me braid your hair. And I'm like, okay, yeah, we'll braid it. And Claire's like, oh, what are you doing? You're braiding his hair? I'm going to sit down, too. And then it was just like, so tell us about yourself. And I was like, well, they have this way of pulling it out.
It's kind of a Samson and Delilah thing.
Is that what it was? Lay on my lap, young lad. Let me do this to you. That's hilarious.
Yeah, I you know, eternally grateful for them. You know, it's good because most of the time I'm very closed up. You go on, you know, almost 4 and 5 deployments, and you get up there and you have to be able to shut it off,
right?
And to be able to do your job, you can't really have any distractions over there. You know, going out there for 210 to 250 days on like nonstop, we don't get breaks on deployments. Mm-hmm. You know, we're not like the Army or Navy or anything like that. We go full mm-hmm. throttle. So coming back, you know, you have to be able to decompress somehow, and it's the transition is what, you know, has helped me realize what's wrong and you know that I need to open up. And then getting out there with these ladies, it was just like, man, you know, they're right. It's time to quit bullshit myself. And can I say that on here?
Yeah.
So, just did.
So, like I said, I'm eternally grateful, and it's. That we'll always be friends.
Yes,
and
forever friends.
Forever friends.
Oh, yeah. This is, I mean, to go through this experience with this group of people, it was so unique for us. It's something you could never, ever, ever forget. And I think we are all going to be connected. So we're all going to be at Natalie's wedding.
nice.
Or I would just invite myself because that's the proper thing to do.
Right. Etiquette coach 101. Invite yourself to the wedding.
You have an outstanding bill for braids.
Yeah. Nice. We're going to be connected to one another for the rest of our lives. Especially for us, because this was life-changing. We did things we never, ever would want to do on purpose. And so to do this and stay there and hang in there is incredible. And so we'll never forget it.
Steven, can you bring up the first picture of the ladies in the suitcases?
Oh, yeah.
You said about never doing this. So this is when you first get there.
Yes.
So you are a different person than this.
Because
this is when you first got there, correct?
Yes, that's when we first got there. I am no longer that person right there. I'm different. Yeah, I'm definitely different. Mm-hmm. And I discovered there's a part of me that's brave. I didn't know it was in there that was just brave. Mm-hmm. Because usually I shrink back from anything that's difficult in terms of physical kind of stuff and everything. And so, yeah, I'm not that person there. Mm-hmm. I was scared coming there,
With your pink suitcase?
I think that was Kirsten.
Oh, was it Kirsten?
Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
On the other side. I want to find out. I mean, obviously, we want to get the juice, the juice.
Ask.
said ask. We'll tell you. We'll tell you. Who do you? Well, not so juicy, but who do you think was? If you had a. You know, to say like, and
I'm waiting for it. You're okay, we're gonna say it at the same time, right? No.
You don't even know what to ask.
I know what you're gonna say.
What am I gonna say?
Who is the most annoying one?
I wasn't gonna say that.
Really. Okay, that's a great question. Who is the least liked one?
Okay, same thing, yeah.
So, who was?
Well, I would say there's a consensus, and this person is not here, but I'm going to tell the truth because sure. that's yeah. what we do. It's Etiquette. Kirsten. Yeah, Kirsten was probably the person who was least liked, the least one who liked. Got
blown
the
up
allergic reaction. The allergic yeah, reaction. I would say, yeah, she was definitely the least liked.
I feel like more so after the show than during, because we didn't get to know her too well, but there was just like she's an abrasive attitude in general. I definitely had butted heads with her. I tried to avoid her as much as possible. And then I never really got into any, like, arguments with her until after the show.
Yeah. But you could see it brewing with her with a lot of individuals. There were just a lot of little skirmishes, and and it seemed like she was... So that would have been good if she stayed.
If she stayed. You're just saying dramatic. It would have been good TV. It would have been drama.
A
lot better.
Yeah. A lot of people have been commenting how, like, we have all been working together on the show. Yeah. Like, nobody's really been stabbing each other behind the back or being really shady. You know, and that's something that we all noticed while we were on the show, too, is that we all really got along and worked together as a big family.
Now, I've got to jump in because there's a story that goes right along with that that wasn't shown on the...
Tell us, Terry.
Yeah, absolutely. It's about this guy right here.
Okay.
He's so excited about this.
It's a beautiful story, and I can't believe they didn't show it. But again, they only have so much time. But okay, there was the challenge where we're passing food through the net.
Yes.
And you're seeing that, right? And you're seeing on the show that we're winning, you know, we're nailing it and everything. Then you see me fall, and I do a massive face plant. Bam, right there. Yeah. And it threw me for a loop, man. I mean, it like knocked me half
he hit
out.
Hard.
Steven, I
hit
can
hard.
You bring up that third picture? And I think we got a visual of that.
or this one.
It won't go on that one.
Okay, that's all right. You tell us when it's there.
But go ahead. Finish the story. I just wanted to get a visual.
So okay, So I'm bam, and I'm trying to figure, you know, I'm half dazed. I'm trying to figure out how to get up, and I'm squirming around, hands tied behind my back. I'm heading towards the tree, see if that'll help me. Okay, now check this out. We are competing for $500,000.
Correct.
Like we were talking about. We're in first place on that challenge, and I'm down. Everybody should be cheering for that, right? Yes, the first place is down. Yes. This guy. Get this, stops his competition, and he helps me get up off the ground, his competitor, for $500,000. Now, you talk about selfless. Mm-hmm. Now, could I have gotten up maybe at some point? But then we end up going and winning that competition.
Yeah.
Because he helped me get up off the ground. Now, that is selfless. That is caring.
By mere seconds.
Somebody had said that I was laughing that you fell. And I was like, no. I had food in my mouth, and I was going, thank you, Jason. Like, can you listen to it?
You can hear
me going, thank you, Jason, because I was like, oh, my God.
Yeah, I mean, that's so a hero moment. That's a hero story that needs to be talked about. It's that kind of action that more people need to see, more people need to emulate. Yeah. You know, it's not about yourself. It's about making the world a better place.
Yeah.
He proved it. No matter how much of a smart aleck he is, and he is, you know. When brass tacks come down, man, when rubber meets the road, he's there for people.
And that's I'm glad you said that and told that story, because typically when you have your quintessential, you know, reality shows where there's a competition, there's usually a lot of backstabbing.
Sure.
There's usually no help for the other person.
Yeah.
Right? And that's why a lot of people, we watch these shows because it's dramatic. But I'm glad you said that because it is good to show that there is, you know, people outside of the competition like, okay, you're a person. I need to help you because you get up.
Yeah, yeah.
And so regardless of what happens, I need to help you as my, you know, as a person.
As a human
being. Well, exactly. It's not about being the best. It's about helping other people be their best.
Right.
You know?
And
that's
still
what
trying
life
to
is.
Win $500,000. You know,
in the process.
But
still trying to win.
You know, but even that, it's about how you live your life. It's about how you play this game, how you live your life.
Yes.
You know? And so everybody thinks, well, I need to get ahead. No. Help other people get ahead.
Yeah.
Help make the world a better place.
Well,
that's how you win.
That was the point that we made to, like, Matt Kuntz did everything he could, working with Lionsgate and Fox to, you know, really push the show. But one thing that we had mentioned that towards the end was, it's like, well, if you guys want more drama and you want more backstabbing and you want more of this that you see in other reality shows, you can't bring in 8 veterans, half of which are combat veterans, because that's just not our nature.
Yeah. Right.
Our nature, you know, with multiple deployments through, you know, all of us and everybody have dealt with what they do. We're still a single, you know, Army, Navy, Air Force, Marine.
We got to be there for
Coast
each other.
Guard.
We got to be there
we're
for each
still
other.
A unifying yeah. U.S. force, and we're just – we're bred to think that way. And so yeah. when I looked over and they saw him rolling around on the ground, it just – it tore at me. And, you know, I gave him a few rolls. It wasn't like I just stopped all of a sudden.
By rolls, he means bread over to his party. Yeah, so you can put it in it. Yeah, those kind of rolls.
But then he went to the tree, and I could see that frustration. It looked like he kind of hit his head a little bit. He kind of was flushed. And so I was like, yeah, we got to
It was a hard
out.
Fall. So, I mean, it looked like it was hard.
It was a good one, man. It was all the way, baby.
Yeah. So you had your hand side behind, you couldn't break your fall at all.
Now, had I known that we were so close to winning the competition, they were going to beat us, I don't know.
And the prize went to everybody, so it worked out. Anyway,
so see, karma worked out because we all got to eat some
That's
really nasty
right.
food.
That's right. You know, I'm glad you said that because this reminds me of a show I covered actually here on AfterBuzz, which is also on Fox, which is American Grit.
Yeah,
and I had a lot of veterans on that show, and it was very similar in the sense of the camaraderie and building one another up. And yes, it's a competition, but still helping one another.
Absolutely,
and all of that. And it really wasn't really a high drama show. It was really about the challenges and about, you know, who's the best.
So, and I wish those type drama, of shows were more popular, man. Right. I wish they were more popular because that's the way we need to emulate.
Sure.
Out
yeah.
there.
Absolutely.
Well, if you want drama in a reality show, don't cast veterans or church folk.
Or Boy Scouts.
Or Boy Scouts, right.
Or both in this case. Yeah.
I don't know that I've ever seen another Boy Scout on reality television.
Yeah, baby.
I think, Terry, you might be the first one.
Let the spirit.
Maybe we'll have an influx.
Well, you know, actually, they're out there. I was amazed, even on the show, at how much contact there was with the Boy Scout community. Uh-huh. You know, how many of these folks had been Boy Scouts or knew people that were and all of that stuff.
I was a Girl Scout.
Really?
Yes, you see Girl Scouts up there, Boy Scouts. Ben was a Boy Scout. You know, a lot of the crew and everything. So I was really amazed how many people came up and said, man, it's awesome that you're out here in your uniform and everything. Because, and then they tell me their story. So we're out there, man. We're out there.
That's amazing.
Yeah, just like people don't think that there's etiquette coaches anymore. I'm not. I really am not the only one. I'm one of the best ones, of course.
She's the best.
I'm not the only one.
Well, you proved in that eating competition. You are the best, man.
If you had your in your mouth when you had bat wings.
No, that's because it. Hannah kept talking to me and kept talking to me, and I. And, yeah. No, that's
you don't
not,
chew with your mouth.
That's not proper. That's not
that
proper.
Was great, no. man.
And I did it all with my pearls on too. I had pearls on the entire. Time is out there too.
Oh my gosh.
I was representing.
Representing the etiquette. Speaking of eating, what do you all think was the grossest thing you had to eat? And it could have been on a challenge or that you had to eat for survival.
No, it was on the challenge.
It was, challenge.
It was on the challenge. Sure. Yeah, definitely having to kill worms with my mouth.
The
I had to
worms?
Kill them first
right.
by biting them and then. Mm. You know, chew them up, and that was horrible. Yeah, that was horrible. That was
those whole. I
did
want to
you?
Feel it. I lucked out because we got put.
I was afraid.
You didn't
by
have
Natalie
that.
And Terry, so it was a blessing.
Yeah,
the guys
yeah.
That for us.
You know,
Claire,
I think
Claire
every,
was sitting there. She was like,
first I was
so
mad
close.
At him, and then I got over real quick after I saw
this. And I think that happened with us a lot because the one, of course, you know, I just always have to be outspoken. When we were sent to sit out, when we were sent to elimination by Ben and Juliana, and I was all, no, I don't think it's fair. So when I saw you all doing that obstacle course, I was all, Jason.
Yeah, we're cool.
I'm glad I didn't have to do that.
And with the grub, it really squirted funny. Out of my mouth.
Oh.
The guts did. Onto the table in front of me. Yeah. But they said we had to eat the whole thing. They said, you got to eat this. So after I was done, they didn't show this, but like,
to lick the table. Lick the table.
You know what I did to get the to get the taste of worms out of my mouth when we were standing. They didn't show. I was to get that taste because by then we were eliminated.
Right.
Yeah, I was picking up the dirt and I was eating the dirt.
I remember that.
Yeah, I was
eating,
eating
the
dirt. Yeah,
that was better than the taste of the worms.
To get the taste of
God,
the worms
yes.
and,
oh,
and
God,
stuff.
Yes.
Yeah, so I was eating the dirt. Yeah.
Yeah.
Once we were out,
I feel like the men had a harder time.
Yeah.
Swallowing all that food than the
they
girls
did.
Yeah.
I swallowed my grub quick because I was like, I got to get this done.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And Tara's sitting there
totally
still like,
I have a horrible gag reflex. I'll just say it right off the
well,
bat.
I was doing fine.
I could not.
I was doing good, but then I realized that the head was over here in my cheek still. So I'm doing like, I'm doing fine. You know, sometimes you got something you're eating and you don't want to eat something, so you put it in your cheek and you spit out later.
Right.
I realized I did that with that head of that grub.
Oh, yeah.
So I was like, oh, no.
My body has to digest it anyway.
You know,
what? One of the reasons why I ate the bat wing whole, it was actually Jason's fault, because Jason said to me beforehand, he said, okay, whatever they give us, just go up there, grab it, and chew it up and eat it, and don't even think about it. I was like, okay. And, you know, I'm listening to him the whole time. Yeah. So I did exactly that. I was so mad when I opened my eyes and saw him still there, tearing it into little pieces.
Like, you're supposed to follow your own advice.
I put the whole thing in my mouth, and I just started gagging and gagging. I was like, I can't. No way I can swallow that whole thing.
I was mad. I was all, you told me to eat the whole thing. So, but it's okay.
Well, one of the things that we worked on is, because we knew that Hannah would try to get us to focus on that nasty thing, you know? Yeah. So one of the things we talked about was, don't, people say, face your fears. I disagree. Don't face your fears. If you face your fears, you're looking at that worm, that nasty thing, it gets bigger. It gets more real. Focus on the goal. Always focus on the goal. Don't focus on your fears.
That
focus on
so
your goals.
True.
And then this goes away. That gets bigger. So that's what
you
we
sound
did.
Like a motivational speaker.
All right. I'm trying
sometimes. I need to hire you sometimes.
See, Terry.
Terry Fossil, motivational speaker.
There it is. Boy Scouts of America.
.com.
What is the biggest thing you miss about doing this experience?
The
nothing.
People.
I miss nothing. I'm happy to be home.
I miss the people. I really nothing at miss, all.
Yeah.
I really
I'm happy to be. I miss my friends. Uh-huh. But the good thing is, we do have a private Facebook group that we created. Tamara, I think, created it, and so that's it. But I don't miss anything about the job. I'm sorry.
I'd have to say, every morning, me and Claire would wake up, and she would. Well, she'd be up first, and she'd roll over. She'd go, Brady, it's time to read the letter.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So sweet.
So Claire's mom, I'll let her tell it. Go ahead.
Yeah, so my mom sent me with a letter for every day I was in the jungle. So she wrote one out every day. So Brady and I would wake up and read the letter every morning. It was just something to look forward to every day and help us get through the day. Yeah. And it was pretty amazing. Cool. I have the best mom.
That is amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So and that sweet. Was that helped you, obviously.
Oh yeah, a lot.
Good start because you read it every morning. So start to the day.
So it's something to look forward to, and that was part of the routine, like I was talking about earlier. You know, you get something at least even one thing a day,
right?
And you could be able to focus on that one thing, and that's kind of what kept us going. That's what would get us up in the morning and get us going and be like, thanks, Mom.
Yeah,
that's super cool.
Yeah, super cool. Sweet.
What about you, Natalie?
I feel like I miss it's my own fault, but I miss being active every day, going outside every day, being a gamer. Working online, I'm inside most of the time.
Right.
I try to get out a lot more often, and I was doing really good keeping the weight off and working out and training and all that, and then I got a boyfriend and got happy, and then we got that happy fat going.
Happy fat.
Yeah, so I pretty much weigh what I did in the beginning, but no, it was I miss probably the self-control of actually not having food to eat. having to be physical and work out every day.
And do something.
Yeah.
Okay. What about y'all?
The people. Miss the people. These guys are fantastic. They're amazing. And to be part of the growth of, again, these novices, what they were going out there and watching the growth in them and the gaining in confidence and everything. I mean, it's a joy. Mm-hmm. It's what we do in Boy Scouts, but it's really cool to be doing it with a bunch of adults and with these amazing people.
All the survivalists we got together, I mean, for us, it's it's a hardcore camp trip.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We've done it before. We've survived. We know we can do it. We know the rules. We know the process. So we know how to get through all that. But when you take 10 novices that have never been in the jungle, never been in the water, never been camping, that Miss America contestants, a Baywatch, etiquette coaches, all these random people. You got Sam Shanklin out there who is a professional chess killer. I mean, he just kills everyone at chess.
Right. The executioner.
The executioner. But and they were so hungry for knowledge. I mean, they were hungry in general, but they were hungry for knowledge. And we built shelter and we gathered food, and you see the light just kind of come on, and you see them overcome these challenges to where it's like, I can do this. I can live in the jungle for 30 days with no food and no water when they're from, big cities and they have husbands that take care of them. And when that light clicks on, that you can't replicate that. You can't make that up. That's the reality of reality TV, is watching all these individuals do extraordinary things. And then look like they kind of enjoy it at the end.
Kind of.
I enjoyed it toward the end, for
you
sure.
You did. You were amazing.
I didn't.
You said you did not.
I missed my husband.
Once we got to the beach, I was like, yes. Because I grew up in Florida, and I used to swim competitively for 10 years. So I was like, I get to swim all the time, and I did until the sharks. Then I was I'm not swimming anymore.
Done. No swimming.
I felt one, a fish, what I thought was a fish, go by my leg at one point, and then when they caught the sharks, I was like, no.
That'll be done.
Mm. Yeah.
No more swimming in those
waters. Things were good.
Well, you know, and I got to give it up for Natalie real quick, too. And I know I'm bragging about my partner, but I'm going to.
Go ahead.
Because she was such an insanely hard worker out there. It was so cool. Aww, and she had all these fears to begin with, but she decided to get over them. Because to begin with, I told the story before, but I'd have to, whatever fish we get, I'd have to kill them and gut them and clean them and cook it and get them just the meat out on a leaf.
I'm
and then
super squeamish. Still, I kind of reverted a little bit. Like, sometimes when I'm cutting the fat off of meat, I have to have my boyfriend do it.
Wow.
I will vomit. Like, but I'm super squeamish.
But near the end, I mean, so we're cutting and cleaning the shark and everything. She's like, I want to see this. And we go out bat hunting. She's going to go with us. And we go out to
bat hunting.
She's going with us.
You did go bat hunting.
We got addicted to those wings.
We didn't get anything.
Yeah. We were really unsuccessful at it. We tried.
It was at the second location.
Oh, okay.
We just kind of like, you know, we were the only ones out there, so we were like, okay, how do we do this? And we were just kind of like, found some sticks, and we were like, nope, you have another stick, find another bat.
You can actually hear bats laughing at you. They really do.
When you guys caught the shark, though, and I was like, I was trying to overcome my fear of the squeamishness, and I go up to like pet it while they have it, and it's like kind of bleeding and stuff. And he's like, he takes it.
Yeah.
I don't know if they're going to show it, but he takes it and he's like, ah!
I can thank my dad for those jokes. He always used to get me as a kid. He's like, look at this. I go, and he's like, ah! And it just
That's crazy. So I want to say, first of all, tomorrow's the season finale. We got two couples still in it.
Three couples.
I'm talking about in here. Two couples in here still in it. So, I mean, you can't give us any spoilers, but my thing is, like, who won?
Tune in tomorrow night.
Yeah,
Fox, 9 o'clock, 8 central.
We all did.
Yes.
We
all. Everybody won.
Everybody won. Jason and I come back.
You come back again. Like, with your pearls. With your pearls. Right.
Right.
No, but I do want to say good luck to Natalie and Terry and Brady and Claire.
Thank you.
Because,
thank
you. Again, thank you're you. Still in the running. And so we will see tomorrow who ends up taking it, the grand prize of $500,000. But you guys have been amazing. And any last words before we get into the next group?
Watch the finale. It's going to be lit, fam.
It's going to be lit, fam.
I don't know what that means, but...
What was she saying?
Yeah. It's a California thing. Yeah. Anybody else closing remarks?
We'll be partying in WeHo tonight for my birthday, so
okay.
Come on out.
Come on out, WeHo.
Buy us a drink.
Where exactly?
Do you know? We have to
just
WeHo.
We're going
to
start out,
but we'll follow us on our social media.
There you go.
You'll figure out where we are.
You know what? I'll give one last shout out to the Boy Scouts, to the BSA, man. Hey, kids, stick with it no matter what. Boy Scouts are tough. Boy
Get
Scouts
that eagle.
Are bad. Get that eagle. Good point, man. And you never know where scouting's going to take you.
Yeah. Right. Speaking of scouting, I'll give a shout out to the Scout Sniper community.
Right.
the Recon Scout Sniper Foundation. Yeah. You know, it helps veterans like
right on
us with transition coming from the military to real life.
So. Oh wow!
Awesome.
Very nice.
There it
very
is.
Nice.
You want to give a shout out to etiquette community?
I want to give a shout
out to the people out there.
Yes, I do. I want to give a shout out to the entire etiquette community. Continue doing what you're doing.
Yes.
Ladies and gents, try to make our world a better place. And don't talk with your mouth full.
There it is. Boom. Any other shout outs? Yes.
St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. That's what I was there trying to raise money for, and I do it every year, and I wasn't able to last year because we were filming. But it's a great, great cause. I've visited the hospital a couple times. I cry every time. None of the kids or the families pay for any of the costs to help these, you know, ill, you know, cancer, whatever it is. These children get treatment. They take care of the housing. They pay their bills back home if they can't afford to leave and leave work and take care of their children at the hospital. It's such a great cause, and I can't, like, praise them enough.
So donate to St. Jude's. Go online, find it, donate to St. Jude's right now. Help them out, man. It's a great cause.
Boom, there it is. So before we close out, everyone give their social media handles.
Yes. Yeah. Claire, first of all, I wish we could see, but Claire just had a brand new baby.
Yeah.
Maybe 7 years.
There we go.
Yes.
Right, Claire.
Wait, I don't know. Wait, Claire, you have to show off your body. This is a baby.
Show your body.
Stand up, Claire, so everyone can see. She just had a baby 7 weeks ago.
Whoa.
Yeah, so Claire came. came straight home from the jungle and immediately got pregnant.
She said she missed her husband.
I really missed her.
That's what she said. But yeah, everybody give your social media handles so all the fans can know. So we'll start with you, Miss Elaine.
Yes, I am Elaine Swan on every social media handle, and that's Swan with two N's. Elaine Swan.
Okay.
I am at Claire Elise Yo.
Yeah.
And I'm the zombie unicorn with no E in zombie because I'm an idiot. Everywhere. Also, thezombieunicorn.com. You can find everything.
Awesome.
Google Brady Totanka. That's T-O-T-A-N-K-A. That's
Totanka.
That was Totanka. A nickname with my Native American heritage from a good friend of mine.
So. Okay.
Terry L. Fossum on everything, and including TerryLFossum.com. Come on over.
There you go.
Yeah, I don't have social media.
Okay.
Easy. The last I guess
just make sure you go to West Hollywood tonight and party with him.
Yeah. Oh, well, then I guess I should say ElaineSwan.com.
There.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
There you go. There it is. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much.
All right.
We appreciate it. It's been fun. It's been amazing. We're going to have the next group come in. So there we go. And Stephen, if you can maybe play the trailer while we
for
do the
finale.
Swim. That'd be cool. Yeah. What'd you say?
We are in the heart of one of the world's most remote jungles deep in the South Pacific. Along with 10 tough survivalists from all walks of life. But they don't quite know what they're in for yet. Surviving this game will be the hardest thing that you have ever done. Because you won't be paired with each other. You'll be paired with these guys. 10 total novices who have never spent a night camping in their own backyard, let alone surviving in the wilderness.
Oh boy.
So we've gamified surviving in the wild. So that is like the first big challenge, right, for these novices. Just staying alive.
Are you okay?
They have to learn how to make fire and to get food. And then with their teammate, they go on to the challenges that we've prepared for them.
You love action, you're gonna see contestants rappelling down waterfalls. If you love drama, you're gonna see relationships forming and romances forming in the reality that we're shooting. And if you love humor, you're gonna see this incredible humor of these people that really don't belong in the jungle trying to survive out here.
So they have to survive each other and the jungle and the game.
What's up, everybody? We are back. We had a little intermission. We have the new group here for the Kicking and Screaming finale. Give it up. Yes. Yes. Super excited. So I'm going to introduce them and we're going to get into this. So right next to me is the amazing and the talented Miss Nakisha Turk. Yes. Give it up for her. Woo-hoo! Yes. Miss Cheerleader Extraordinaire. And we have to her left a champion in the chess community, professional, Mr. Sam Shanklin. Give it up.
Yes.
Yes. And the fashion student, a.k.a. Mr. Pampered, Maxwell Carr.
Yay.
Yes. And former Baywatch babe, still looking amazing.
Oh, thank you.
Miss Angelica Bridges.
Yes.
Yes. And last but not least, we have the wilderness therapy field guide of all, Miss Jessie Krebs.
Woo!
Yeah. So we've been live streaming this whole entire time. We had a great group, first group. They said that you guys are going to be super turned up.
Definitely.
So,
hell yeah.
So I'm ready for it because you guys got to give me all the dish dirt. You know what I'm saying? So basically, just to recap, we were talking about this is the finale's happening next week. Tomorrow night on Fox at 9/8 Central. And the winning team is going to get $500,000, which is crazy, right? Right. Crazy. So I just kind of want to get perspective on the show, obviously kind of pinpoint some certain things that happen with certain individuals, you know what we're saying. So first of all, Miss Nakisha,
yes,
you were lack of a better term, the blow-up queen. You had some moments
Nikisha Meltdown.
Hashtag.
Yes. Actually, oh, we have to get that in a second. Steven, when you get a second, can we get the meltdown picture? Because I think we have it up. Yeah, we have a picture of it. Yeah, but but it seemed like afterwards you kind of came out of it. There it is. There
that
it is.
That is not a meltdown. That's a happy face.
Is that a happy face? That looks like a sassy picture, though.
Yeah, I like
it's probably
it.
Sassy.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. It's not no Nikisha meltdown.
It's not a Nikisha meltdown. We just got sassy Nikisha.
Yeah.
But we did have the meltdown. Oh, turn around this the thing here. There. Yeah, turn this. Oh, there we go. Yeah.
Wait.
There we go. Yeah.
There you go.
Bless your heart, Nikisha. Right. Bless your heart.
I got your back. I got your back, Nikisha.
Yeah,
I got you.
I'll just roll with it.
I got you. Roll with it. So the Nikisha meltdown. What was that?
Basically, a Nikisha meltdown is when Nikisha does not like something. Uh-huh. She kind of might blow up a little bit if it's out of her comfort zone or whatnot, or if she can't handle it or she feels overwhelmed. Oh, it's going to be a meltdown.
It's going to be a meltdown.
Yeah.
And did anyone else witness this firsthand?
Maybe 4 to 7 times.
Like the whole season?
Or yes, but I love it. Like, she can melt down every day for the rest of her life and we'd still be friends.
I know. I love it.
You love
it? At night, she'd come at the fire and she'd have this netting over her face and head. Yes. And then we would talk and, like, you know, it was hilarious.
I did.
It was great TV. I loved it, and I love how they played with it, you know, and had the hashtag Nikisha meltdown on there under that. It was great. It seemed like towards the end of your time there, you didn't have as many meltdowns. Did you get more used to the surroundings and what was going on?
Well, the hardest thing for me was, like, getting acclimated to that type of environment.
Okay.
So, you know, after, you know, the first 2-3 weeks, I finally was like, okay, it's not as hard as it was before. And I was just starting to adjust, and I started praying a lot more, and it kind of just changed my whole aura and my attitude about it. Mm-hmm. So that's why you didn't see as many meltdowns as time progressed, because I was really just getting used to it, and then I had to refocus myself and be like, yo, there's $500,000 on the line. Like, get it together.
Right. Would you say your partner had a hand in that as well?
I mean, he did get me in check that one time, as y'all saw.
That one time?
Yeah, one time. I didn't listen any other time. But that one time, I was like, okay, maybe if he's going to yell at me and blow up like that, then I might can do some reevaluating on my end. Some. His a lot, but
right.
Some.
He needed more.
Yes.
Got it. Okay. I see Nikisha's just like she is on TV.
Basically.
It's great. I love it. So, Angelica, you were like the Zen master with your partner. And I wanted to kind of get, like, where you were coming, because your partner was the ninja.
The ninja, yeah.
I love how he's like, yeah, my job, I'm a ninja. That's what I do. How was that helpful for you, like, being in this environment and being in the wilderness?
Oh, yeah, because I needed some kind of escapism. Mm. And that was my escapism, is like, okay, well, since I'm starving to death and I'm, you know, cold and I'm, you know, I've had bruises and I was itching like crazy. Mm-hmm. When I got out of there, I had like 300 bites, I counted, all over me.
Oh, wow.
So I had to have some kind of escapism. And mm-hmm. I was like, whatever you're selling, I'm buying it. Mm-hmm. You know, you want to be a ninja? I will be your ninja co-partner right now. Because I need
whatever you want.
Yeah, anything. I'm willing to do. I would have joined, you know, like Scientology, probably. I mean, I was not.
I heard they have good,
you know,
perks. Call me.
I was willing to do anything for a little, you know, peace.
Nice.
In that moment.
How? I mean, just it's overall, like, you know, we were talking to the last group, and you know what we see on TV, it was worse than that in some cases, because, you know, we don't see you sleeping a lot of the times, but, you know, some of these shows, you're like, oh, you're out there and then you're in a hotel at night.
Right.
And then you come back to film, and it's like, no, you guys had to brave the elements. Mm-hmm. Like Jesse talked
Stay
about that
there. Well, you know, they're like, some people were saying at the beginning, you're sleeping on leaves and sticks. Mm-hmm. You're sleeping on the ground, you got bugs all around, there's no tent. Yeah. You know, if it's raining, you're in the rain, you know, it's right there, it's dripping through, it's whatever, you know, you're trying to find the right spot, it's not going to be comfortable.
Maxwell, how did you fare with this?
I hated it, I'm not going to lie.
Because I was, when you know, everyone had their introductions, you know, characters, and you saw what everyone was like, I was the most worried about you. I was like, he's not going to last. He's just going to go home.
I think most people were worried about me. Like, I feel like if there was bets on who would die first, it would be me. So I'm glad I didn't die. And I did learn a lot, but
you know, the outdoors are not for me, and there's nothing wrong with that. I like to be an indoor cat.
You're an indoor person.
Definitely.
Indoor cat. I love it. Sam, your experience, how did you fare there? Because it seemed like the whole time, like, you never smiled, like, ever. You were, like, mad the whole time.
Well,
I mean,
it certainly turned sour pretty quick when I've lost every popularity contest I've been in since I was in kindergarten. And at the beginning, it was... Well, the first episode was, like, performance-based results. Like, that was great. I mean, I wouldn't say I was having a great time. We were starving and all this stuff. But I sort of approached it the way I do all my chess games, just come in with absolute full intensity and be ready to go. In retrospect, I had never really seen reality TV. I think this was a huge mistake. I think, you know, appearing likable and stuff, it's generally not something I'm very good at. But I should have put more emphasis on that and less on trying to, like, stay in the zone the entire time. I mean... In general, like, you know, people don't believe it, but, like, I watch South Park. I have a ridiculous, goofy sense of humor. I'm raunchy and stuff, but I, you know, somehow I was just in the zone the whole time, and maybe why I was sent home so early.
Okay. I mean, it's – and you say you had never watched reality TV or just shows like this
at all?
Once
I finally was selected for Kicking and Screaming, I was actually at the U.S. Championship, and so I didn't –
Really?
I didn't have much time, and then I had 3 days off between the U.S. Championship and going off to the jungle, so, like, you know, I was tired already from the tournament. And,
right.
I mean, I watched some clips of Survivor, but I was only watching the challenges because I thought that's what largely we would be doing. I had a very warped sense of what was coming for me, and I guess I was punished for not properly doing my research.
Okay. Going back to you, Nikisha, and your meltdowns. You had some colorful moments on the show, but you also had some moments where I feel like you, as your character on the show, kind of grew and got better and better and more used to it. What do you attribute that to?
Well, basically, what it all comes down to is your attitude. Like, my life is fabulous. I'm not going to lie. So going into the jungle and just sleeping and eating, like, plants. I can't even think about it, but you know, you saw it.
Right.
Through the struggle, because the struggle was real, y'all. Going through the struggle and then realizing, like, okay, I'm here for a reason. Like, there's money on the line. Like, I just had to change my attitude. And once I started thinking more like myself and being more positive, like, just because you're out of your element doesn't mean you have to act out of your element. So that's kind of like my thought process kind of changed and progressed. And that's why once I realized my actions are being detrimental to me winning money, then I kind of changed that.
Got it. Because then the focus came.
Yeah, I was like, get it together.
Get it together.
That's why you see me giving myself pep talks and
right.
stuff.
What would you say is the worst thing that you... Because you guys had to eat some really disgusting things. What would you say was the worst thing that you had to eat, whether it was on a challenge or whether it was you had to eat to survive?
Not to be shady, but the pizza in the hotel before was not that good.
Are you serious?
CG,
so
no.
It was.
Go ahead, Max.
And their ketchup. You rock it, man. Their version of ketchup.
I love Fiji. I would
ketchup.
Go back anytime. It's an amazing country. I really, like, everyone should go, but I would rather eat the worms than eat the pizza in the hotel.
Was it that? You guys are laughing because are you agreeing with them? Was it that bad?
Where's the lie, though?
It was bad. There were some things I'd rather eat than some of the food in the hotel.
Serious? Like, the worms was better than the pizza was that bad.
Yes. Maybe
they
I'm
tried.
Bougie, but...
Bless their heart.
But you feel the same way.
Yeah,
Jessie?
Some of the food was... But, you know, I'm the survivalist, so, you know.
But
I think
even
I'm roadkill,
like,
and cook it up at home.
Yeah,
so.
You're good. But
I've got a little bias
you
going on.
They must have ordered from a different menu than me. I thought the food at the hotel was absolutely fine.
Oh, you were good.
It was very
once we got to the jungle, like, I mean, we didn't eat the first night at all, and after that, you're just so hungry that you don't really care.
You don't care what.
That's very true.
I mean, I downed everything with zero complaint. Like, I just...
Yeah. I know the one challenge where you had to transfer the food over. Who did that challenge?
Not me.
Okay, you
Thank
did
you,
that challenge.
Oh,
did
you
so not me. Because that seemed really nasty. I know you didn't eat the food, but it was just the whole, everything that you had to do with it. Like
transferring it?
Yeah.
At first, I was like, ew. Like, I saw all the food, and I just knew. I was like, this is not going to be something, like, that I would think it is.
Right.
And so we had to transfer it, which is kind of gross. And the food is, like, a lot of it is soft food, as you see. Like, right. Cookies and stuff. So it's, like, breaking and falling. And it was just a disaster. Mm. Like, it was gross. It was pretty gross. And, like, you have, like, an aftertaste in your mouth that is, like, ungodly. So thank God we got to go to that little bar and get, right. You know,
some drinks.
Yeah.
Wash it down. Yeah.
Yes. I mean, I couldn't partake in alcohol, but.
I'm kind of sorry for America that they didn't get to see Caleb and I passing food mouth to mouth. I think that's.
It would have been entertaining. Yeah.
That would have been amazing. I really
Caleb
would have
been like, is there an alternate?
Yeah. Angelica, what would you say was your favorite moment of being on the show?
Goodness.
With your Zen partner.
Oh my gosh. Probably like when we would get around the fire at night and, you know, have those discussions and those talks,
fireside
little gossips and sometimes massage and, you know, some things you guys didn't get to see on the show. I think behind the I could call it behind the scenes because it wasn't shown to America, but our behind the scenes was really, we had some good times.
You had some good times.
Fun moments and like, you know, laughter and just joking and being silly and, a lot of that. You didn't
one of
see.
The things that the, and it's funny you say that because one of the things that the group before you were saying is that there was definitely a good camaraderie amongst the challenges, everyone that was in the game. Yeah, it was a competition, but you know, a lot of these reality shows, you see like backbiting and you see like backstabbing and all these kind of things. And it appeared, correct me if I'm wrong, but it appeared that you guys, for the most part, got along pretty well. Is that is that your true statement?
For the most part,
Maxwell. Look,
we had 20 people out there. That's 400 iterations of person on person. You're gonna find specific sets of two that don't like each other very much. But I think the people who didn't like each other just stayed civil, even if they didn't hang out. They never like.
They saved it for Facebook.
Oh, is that what?
Our Facebook.
I'm just saying.
Wow, that's right. And I was told that you guys have a closed Facebook group.
We do.
We do. Yeah. Close.
Yeah. No rats allowed.
No.
No snitches.
No snitches.
And nobody else in the group. No spouses. No children. No parents. Just us.
Just only participants.
Yeah.
Now, would any of you? Obviously, you know. Unfortunately. None of you made it to the last round, but but would any of you do this situation again?
I would.
I would love to.
I would try again. I would like to see. I think it'd be interesting to see like who and how you could be different with a different partner. I loved my partner. I got along with Tamara really well, but I think it would be interesting to see a different group of people and maybe play the game differently too, because I feel like. A lot of people did play smart with strategy, but I think that...
Elaine!
Yeah, when I say a lot of people, I mean just Elaine and me.
Just Elaine.
But I think a lot of people played more like a friends game, which was cool, and that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that.
Right.
But I would like to see people play this game who are a little more maybe... playing to win the money, you know?
Yeah, okay. More devious.
I agree.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So you're saying, and when you say playing to win the money, do you think... like to create more drama or to be more
not necessarily drama, but I feel like in the second episode when the game changed and we suddenly whoever, you know, came back previously from the elimination challenge
got to pick.
Would send someone in.
Right.
I think a lot of those decisions were made based on who they would rather hang out with in the jungle as opposed to
strategy.
Mm-hmm. Who do I need to send home to win? Because that's what I... No offense, Sam, because I did that to you. I'm sorry. But, like, he would have beat me every single day. And that's why that was my choice. And I didn't see a lot of other people do that.
Doing it, playing it.
Which is
way.
Fine. Like, like, we all got there on our own merit, so people can play however they want. I was just surprised. I expected more. I
mean, so it was people were being too safe then, well, in a sense, because they wanted people, certain people around them.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It came down a lot as well to priorities, at least for me. Like, I did not want to look like a total jackass on TV. And I sort of came across that way anyway, in terms of looking extremely overconfident or arrogant, but... I didn't want to look like a backstabbing, conniving person. I mean, you didn't see it as much, but I was definitely the loudest voice the whole time behind trying to keep things as objective as possible.
Really?
This was largely a strategic decision just because I knew that my strength was not popularity contests or perception or anything like that. Mm-hmm. But nonetheless, I did think it was the fairest way. And, I mean, I'm a chess player. It's what I do. I like perfectly fair competitions. I mean, in chess, every game I win, I know I deserve it. Every game I lose, I know I deserve it. It's never anything to do with popularity. It's all... And that's what I'm good at. That's why I kind of like that. But, I mean, in that sense, I guess... Well, that's why I was gone early. I mean, this is a game of perception, and
it's reality TV, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was gonna say, yeah, it's reality TV. Yeah. It's definitely a different situation. So, I mean, overall, looking at how everything was, you said, you know, most of you said you would do this again, correct? Yeah. Anyone would not do it again, like at all?
I don't know if I would. I don't know. I don't feel like. I don't feel like everyone had the teams were necessarily equal to begin with.
So explain but that.
Well, because the way things were set up ahead of time, production knows the abilities of the screamers,
okay.
And they know they have a good idea of the abilities of the survivors, right? Mm-hmm. And so the pairings, I don't think were necessarily making equal teams because you can only move as quick as your slowest person, right?
Right.
That's in true. Any kind of a group,
right?
so. It's just not, it didn't seem as though it was really going to be a fair thing with the challenges in some,
I mean,
in some cases.
I totally agree that it was unfair in a lot of ways, but I would still do it again. And it was mainly because I didn't come out there to win the money. I mean, I'm a very competitive person by nature, but I was more competitive because I wanted to win the competition as opposed to the money. That just didn't matter to me as much.
Oh, so you were literally about the competition.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, obviously I wouldn't object to the money. I'd pay off my mortgage, but I'm not in a space in my life where that much...
We'll turn it away.
Where that would really change my life very much. And but what I really wanted to do was test myself to the maximum of my ability. And I remember when I got knocked out on day 8, I was like, I really could have kept going, like in the jungle for a lot longer. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, you know... And you can argue about whether it was fair or not the way we went home. I don't really care what people think. We lost, mm-hmm. and you know, we lost because Claire and Brady outperformed us by their 5 seconds, and you know, they deserve to win. But it's just, you know, I felt like I really wanted to stay out there longer and prove to myself that I could do it.
Jesse, do you think, going back to what you were saying earlier, do you think that you had a fair team? Do you think that your bearing was fair?
I think Mike had more, at least physical challenges than a lot of the other participants.
Mm-hmm.
He's a big sweetheart and he's a big guy.
Right.
We realized, like, they didn't really show it, but on that last elimination challenge where we were up against Max and Tamara, I was struggling to get on his back, right? It was hilarious, me trying to get. I'd get one foot up and my other foot stuck in the mud.
Right.
And... You know, and Mike is a strictly visual learner. It was like getting the fish as well in the first challenge.
Right.
Like,
yeah, which is a struggle.
I finally, after like, and they show it being really quick, but it was like 20 minutes of him, at least 20, 30 minutes
of
him
trying to get
it. It looked a lot closer than it was.
Yeah, it was, we were way behind Tamara and Max, way behind. And so I kept trying to coach him to get the fish, and he couldn't do it. He's visual. Mm. And finally, and he hadn't seen me pick up the fish. The first one, I'd gotten on the platform ahead of him, picked up the fish, put my fish in the thing, and he didn't see me. And I'm trying to talk and trying to do all these different ways of getting him to do it. And until I stuck my hand back in the water and just said, Mike, look, grab in, pick up the fish. Within 2 minutes, he had the fish.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So he was strictly a visual learner. And so that was really challenging, you know? And they had to know, like, everybody was across the water long. He struggles with swimming. Mm-hmm. He thought he was a pretty good swimmer, but production knew. Because we all did swimming tests before we went on the show.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Got it.
Yes.
So that was something where it just felt like, and so many of the challenges, as I watched the show later, it's like so many of those were swimming challenges. So if Mike and I hadn't been eliminated that first one,
right,
I think it would have, you know, and if we'd had time even ahead of time, like for me as a survivalist, I was kind of told more that we were going to have some time alone with our team member before we actually started stuff. And so if I had had that time with Mike ahead of time, I think he could have gotten a lot better with that stuff, and I could have figured out, okay, he's a visual learner, mm-hmm. and this is how I need to work with him. And so I think it would have been more fair then, but he lit that at that last one, that cauldron. I didn't have to get on his back. He was a tall enough guy, and so he lit that torch. And so we totally, there were many different points in that elimination challenge, and we could have won that.
Right.
If we'd known he was tall enough, he could have just stood
and
we would have beat him.
As close as it looked.
It was.
I was going to say, was it really that close?
I would say, under 5 seconds. Under 5 seconds. Very close. Yes. We thought we were, because we were so behind for the majority of it, we were probably, I would say, at least 10 minutes behind you guys, because they put 20. Together their kind of puzzle piece to get their bag down to make the fire much quicker than us. So we were kind of like just sitting there expecting to like it to just be over. We're just going to be like, okay, we're just not going to do it. Right. But then eventually we're just like, oh, we did it. So we tried, and then we barely beat them.
Wow. Yeah.
It was a crapshoot.
It was. And and Mike, you know, and that's where his height and his bigness, right. Big Mike, would have been an advantage we'd realized that, you know. Or if he'd been not so much of a visual, if he could have, like, kinesthetically gone, oh, she's having trouble getting on my back, and bent his knees.
Or
put a hand down or something to help.
Because I was like,
no, but he doesn't.
I was like, tits in the mud. I was like, in it, you know. It was not cute.
But it was so much fun. Yeah. It was fun, Maxwell.
I remember seeing it. It was. It seemed like it was very close, and I'm glad you pointed out that it was as close as it was.
Yeah.
It was. But it did seem like it was like, oh, wow. Because once I saw that challenge, I was like, this is going to be a really good series. Because if anything of these other challenges are like this, and this is what they have to do, then this is real. This is a real show.
It is.
This is a real challenge. So,
and it was so much fun. The challenges they came up with were just sweet. Yeah. This is all right. Like, what are we gonna do with
that's
this?
That's a word for them. They were fun.
Sure.
All right. Maybe a survivalist liked a little better than y'all did. Yeah.
Right. Nikisha, what would you say was your the hardest thing that you had to overcome there while you were on the show?
I mean, just being out of your comfort zone, like sleeping on the ground, like what? And then like I can't put on my makeup. Like I just do not like to be out of my routine. Right. Like that's very hard. And I really, like, not to sound vain, but whatever, I am. Like I do care about my appearance. So not being able to like curl my hair and put on my lashes and stuff and glam up, like that was really painful.
That was painful.
Yeah.
So just being out of your comfort zone.
Yes.
Okay. When you were filming Baywatch, Angelica, was any of them like this in this challenge?
Like the first challenge we had where we had to swim across that, you know, the water to catch the fish. Whenever we would do a rescue, they would have us actually, you know, go run across the beach, jump in the water, and then swim. You know, kind of the same distance for some scenes and shots. So, luckily, I mean, well, that was, you know, 18 years ago. So, I was like, this is like Baywatch. But it's been a long time since I've had to do that kind of stuff.
Right.
You know, I think holding on, like when we had the challenge with Natalie and Terry and holding on to the ropes, you know, that... you know, I kind of do that stuff in the gym or when I'm trying to learn different things like Cirque things for a show that I do in Vegas, you know, that similar kind of stuff. But, you know, it's just under different pretenses. You're under this glaring sun. Mm-hmm. It feels like it's 100 degrees. You know, you're having to do, your partner is right there. You're having to, you know, do these type of things against, you know, all these other teams at the same time or against another, it's just different than in real life when I've done these type of things, you know, on Baywatch or whatever. Mm-hmm. It's just a whole other level. When it's in a challenge or in the sun and you're in these conditions and you've got, you know, 200 bug bites and they're like, you know, and you need to scratch and you're itching and you're hungry and you haven't eaten in 3 days. It's a whole other situation.
I think for me, I think the food thing would have got me, like not being able to eat.
Yeah, it was a struggle.
I was
because
grouchy.
Because what were some of the things you all ate?
Taro root. Soil nuts.
Fish.
When we were really hungry, we literally just like boiled leaves. It was like, I don't know what plant it was, you probably know, but it was like literal leaves and just like...
taro leaves from the taro root.
Yeah, whatever. And like, like dirty river water that dead fish were floating in.
Yeah.
Literally, like, that's not, you know,
a
nice meal.
Right. I mean, did anyone like lose weight? Like I would.
Oh yeah, I lost like 7 pounds.
You lost 7 pounds.
7, 12, yeah.
12 pounds.
I lost about 15.
15 pounds.
And I gained it all back.
Yeah, me too.
I gained my back and some.
Couple margaritas and some nachos. It's all back.
Yeah,
it was a wrap.
It took me 2 weeks, and it was like
thick.
Bam.
It was all back.
Yeah,
thick.
I would probably want to be on that episode. It sounds
terrible, but just to lose weight and then like
I was so honest that was nice. One of my main motivations. Like I don't know if we actually showed it on the show, but like my kind of ongoing thing with production was that this is my Olsen twin diet.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't care if I had to die, I was gonna leave that jungle looking like Mary Kate. I wanted people to like call a hotline about me. Like that was what I wanted to look
you
like.
That bad. Yeah. That bad. So the finale is tomorrow.
Yes.
And so there's three teams still in it, up for the $500,000. I mean, I'm excited to see what's going to happen. I think it's a situation where, and the other group was talking about, and you can chime in on this, is that some of the things that they miss about doing the show is being with each other. And like you were saying, the campfire and talking and the camaraderie that you built, and they miss that. And it's really, I think it's dope, like, to see a situation where you end up having an extended family.
Yeah.
You know, and we were talking earlier because Claire, you know, she had a baby.
Yeah.
She got busy right out of the jungle.
She was saying, like, she was like, I miss my husband. So we're like, yeah, we see.
Yeah.
Because you went right to him and had that baby. And it was funny because Elaine made her stand up because she just had the baby like seven weeks ago.
Oh, I know. And look at her.
She's amazing.
So awesome.
Crazy.
Crazy.
She looks beautiful.
But, you know, she was even saying, like, even though she missed her husband, she, you know, felt that, you know, she had the love for this extended family. Mm-hmm. And she was even talking about her and Brady, like, reading these letters that her mother wrote her every morning to help get through the day.
Oh, yeah.
What were some of the things that helped you in those hard times get through the day? When you're out there in this wilderness, did you have anything that?
Well, I took my little devotional that I had, and it just has like, you know, a mindset to kind of, you know, get you to focus on and just keep positive, and just it kind of tries to inspire you. And each day it has like a different message.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of times in the camp, which you all didn't see, like we would all like read it, or I would read it to everyone, or me and Claire would sit there and read it, and we would read it every day just so we could be like, okay, we got to do what this says,
keep
and
going.
We will be good, right?
Anybody else?
Personally, I snuck in a little Xanax. So on my in my dark. No, I didn't really.
Surprise! No, here's the tea.
What helped me, like when I first got there, I did miss my family and my life a lot.
Right.
And eventually, I focused on just like what day it was. I'm like, okay, today's day 10. I have like 20 more days. If I win this show, I can do it. Like people have done way harder things.
Right.
So like eventually I just completely disassociated myself with like my life back home and just lived in the moment. Like were the only people I knew. Mm-hmm. So I had to make the best of it, and I had to make friends, and I had to try to win. So that was my motivation.
Okay.
Good.
Anybody else have anything
specific? I meditated.
Specific?
I meditated. Was like,
yeah, you did.
Oh, that's Zen Master. Of course.
Oh, yeah. I need to check out.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So I can get through this. It helped a lot.
I just kept myself busy. Like, I chopped a lot of firewood. I did a lot of work around camp that probably more than my fair share, but I was happy to do it because it just kept me busy.
You did help a lot.
Yeah.
Not having to think much about stuff like that. I'm used to like being away from home for like months at a time and like strange places on my own. It's what I do. I travel a lot for my tournaments and stuff. But, you know, while I was used to being away from home and family and all that, I wasn't really used to being like, I've slept in some less than pristine places with bed bugs and stuff, but it wasn't like this.
Of course not.
I just tried to.
This is beyond bed bugs.
I just tried to keep myself busy, just work a lot around camp, and I mean, I don't know, I probably should have socialized more and worked less, but it's not really in my nature.
Right. Is there anything that, you know, happened that they didn't show that they should have shown?
I would say.
Give me some good stuff.
Yeah, I did have one instance where, like, we caught a lobster and we were all so excited. Like, we're like, oh my God, we found a lobster. We're going to eat it. And it somehow, we had it on a tree in, like, this little net. It somehow escaped the net. Me and Claire are sitting down in our little hooch. And I was like, Claire, something bit my butt. And she was like, no, it didn't. And I was like, I swear. We got up. It was the lobster.
No way.
And it was like, we just started screaming. We're like, and they came and they were like, oh, shit, it's the lobster. How'd it get from there? It was just crazy.
Did you guys eat it after that?
Yes. I was cook this booty pitcher.
Right.
Yeah.
Booty lobster.
Right. Booty pitcher lobster.
I like two servings of the booty lobster.
Servings of the booty lobster. What else happened? What do you think?
Well, what about Tamara?
Yeah, a big thing that didn't make the cut, which I understand because obviously a reality show, so much happens, and they only have 42 minutes.
Sure.
So the production crew is amazing. They've done a great job with the show. Yeah. But one thing that just didn't make the cut was when my partner Tamara got sick in the, I believe, the fourth episode. Yeah. She went overnight to the hospital.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In the middle of the night, her blood pressure dropped, and they evacuated her. And because the same thing happened with Kirsten, mm-hmm. and right. So I thought it was a wrap. Like the next morning, they would come and get me, just like they did with Ross. But she fought through it, and she came back, and then we went home like the next day. So I was kind of right.
She was still feeling sick though, right? Yeah. When she came back,
She was at about probably 60% when we went against Nikisha in the elimination challenge,
and that obviously affected her.
Yeah, and
to some degree.
And you never know what you're gonna get in these elimination challenges.
Right.
Like I look in other episodes that like the second and the third episode I was safe in. But if I had to like compete in those challenges, right. I would have died. Mm-hmm. Like rappelling off a cliff.
You'd still
make
the bottom of that waterfall.
I would be like a baby walrus and they would just tie a rope around me and just drag me down the cliff. But that's what it would have been like. So you never know what you're gonna get. I don't think that last elimination challenge with the grappling hook was Tamara's thing.
Uh-huh.
So I think that was a part of it too.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, it all sort of plays to your strengths. Like, for example, I'm very fast, I'm very fit, I'm very strong, I have good endurance, and this was just not especially helpful in the elimination challenge I was in, where it was all about movement and dexterity and things like that, where I was playing against Claire, who's an excellent gymnast. And, I mean, I was quite happy with myself for essentially tying her in the time around down to the bottom, but then in sort of, like, the diving and stuff. I don't fully know what was happening because, you know, I didn't see when Caleb was diving and things like that, but...
Right.
Like it's, and the whole thing took like 3 minutes. I mean, endurance wasn't really part of it. And there's, I mean, I hate to be somewhat judgmental or condescending, but I felt like between Brady, Claire, Caleb, and I, we were the two most physically fit teams. And, but I felt that even still, I would have liked it to have been a more physically demanding challenge as opposed to sort of a movement based one. And,
isn't that what was good about the show? Because obviously the teams were very mixed. You had male and female, you had, you know, male teams.
One team, yes.
So obviously to have where it always is one thing, always with strength or always with dexterity or whatever.
Of course you want a variety. I just felt it was unfortunate that when I was tossed into elimination, having done nothing but perform well, that the challenge I was put into was also one that happened to not
be to your strengths.
Right. I mean, I haven't really watched that closely what happened ever. There are plenty of other challenges that looked very physical that I would have been, I think, performing
you
quite
well
in. I mean, we didn't perform badly in that challenge. I mean, Brady and Claire are among the top three teams, and we lost them by somewhere between 5 and 10 seconds.
Sure.
And they got to eat the night before. It's not like we were a disaster, but...
Nikisha.
I remember one thing that they didn't see. One night, everyone went to sleep, and it was me and Brady and Juliana and Natalie and Ben. And we all went down to the water's edge, and we looked up at the stars, and the guys kind of showed us the constellations. And oh my God, it was the most amazing.
Sounds romantic.
I mean, no.
Did y'all make out?
Hey now, there's 3 girls and 2 guys.
I mean, that sounds like a party in some places.
It was amazing.
Oh,
yeah.
So this came up in the last group, and it wasn't even a question I was going to ask, but they were like, "We want juice, so you're gonna ask this," and I was like, "Okay, what am I gonna ask?" And they said, "Who was the worst person in the house, and or the most
the
irritating,
house, the
not
hut.
Like the you
the
know
hooch.
On the show, yeah." And so, sorry, I deal with these, you know, reality show.
I know who they said. Let's be real.
Who did they say?
Tell me.
No, they didn't say you.
Because I don't have any beef with this person personally, so I'm not going there. Yeah.
No, you'd be surprised. So it was the person, and I can't remember her name. She wasn't there. But the one that got really sick and had to go home. Who was that?
Kirsten.
They said Kirsten was the most irritating person in the house.
Who said that, Natalie?
They all were saying it.
The thing about her is that she's a very... very big personality.
Mm-hmm.
And she doesn't mean to be malicious. Well, she wasn't malicious to me. It's a better way to put it. But
you stayed out of fire.
I mean, I don't know. Different strokes for different folks. We're not all going to get along. But she did happen to rub 97% of us the wrong way.
Okay.
So it is what it is, you know.
Okay.
I question your mathematics. That means 2/3 of you didn't like her either.
I would say that that's correct. Sorry, Kirsten.
So the majority of the people probably would agree with you.
Yeah.
Or I like, agree, or not with you, but agree with.
Like I said, I have no personal problems.
I get along with her.
We get along with her.
Great. And me too. Yeah.
But the majority of people.
Out of all of us, I can see why she was the one selected.
She was the one selected.
Yeah.
Out of everybody.
Yeah, out of all of us. But I don't have a problem with her.
I would never have selected her. I don't make comments about people behind their back. Yeah. I don't talk with
her. This is reality TV. All right.
He's like, I'll just do it to your face.
Just do it to your face.
No, that's better.
I certainly will make comments to someone's face, but I won't talk about them like in public like that. I had my beef with more than one person there, and I just totally kept it to myself because... You know, my judgments of what kind of a person someone is not what kind of a person they are. It's my choice to never talk to them again if I don't want to, but I don't want to slander them on TV.
That's real.
Okay. Word. I feel that.
Sorry about it. I like her, though. I do like her.
Yeah, she's cool.
She's cool.
Teeth.
And that's just what they said. So it seemed like, you know, they had maybe, but
we all disliked each other at some point.
At some point.
There was a lot of little squabbles you missed. Like, I fought with Ben and Brady for like 30 seconds once. Uh-huh. You and John had a real bad fight.
I would have liked to have seen that fight. Not him and Ben and Brady.
No, we were just squabbling about something stupid.
Oh, not a physical fight.
I can't remember.
And like an hour later, we were all fine again. like, there's a lot of things like
and
that.
And that's going to happen when you have this many people.
It's right. A family.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Families fight. I mean, it's from just, it is what opposite. It is. There's way you're going to have come everybody. Everybody's going to be kumbaya entire time. Like, that would be fake. Like, that would not be real. So they do this thing on purpose. But, and this is one of the things I was saying to the other group, there's another show, because obviously we had in the last group, you know, we had Brady and we had Jason, and they're both, you know, former military people. And they were saying, like, you're not going to get a lot of drama when you have a bunch of military people because that's just not something that they do. And it was reminiscent of the show that I covered that actually is on Fox, American Grit. And it was very much like that.
Me too.
Whereas, you know, it's a lot of military people, but it was about the challenge. But there wasn't the drama and the backbiting and the he said, she said about it. It was literally about that, but there was camaraderie amongst them. And Terry was mentioning about that challenge where the eating challenge, where the past food, you know, the one you were talking about.
Yeah.
And how when Jason, Terry fell, like he fell hard.
Yeah.
And Jason went over it and didn't even think about it. Like picked him up and helped him.
Right.
And he even lost as a result, you know, because
it was a nice
moment. That was very nice. I missed it though.
But it was one of those situations where just like he's down, I got to help him. And so it seemed like, you know, with the group as a whole, there was good camaraderie amongst you, you know, for that. Would you agree with that?
Oh, yeah.
I agree.
Definitely.
It depends on which team. I mean,
true.
Some teams clearly did not get the same kind of help that others did, and I don't necessarily mean mine. I could clearly say.
Yeah, we I mean, not. It's all good in the hood for me. Like, I like almost everybody. Like, pretty much everybody on the show. Yeah. But we didn't get any help from anybody. If anything, people actively wanted us gone the whole time.
Right.
And that's fine, because I understood, like, it's not always personal with strangers.
That's right.
And you're on TV, and you're competing for money, and we all want to win. So
of course.
I get it, but I do kind of agree that there was a clique, and the clique tended to help each other out first, and everyone else after.
That's right.
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
Well, I, for one, was really glad that when Mike and I walked away, that you seemed so empowered and were so like, yes!
I was sad to see you guys go.
It was
I always had to compete against the people I liked. Like, Nikisha, Jesse. You know what I mean?
Right. I was really glad. You were beaming when you guys won that. Until you found out what the reward was. But you liked it, and you're like, holy crap, guys were so excited.
They're like, congratulations, you finally won something, and now you have to be, like, the villain. I was like, thanks.
Yeah. And I think that's, and of course that's done on purpose, because I think that's what kind of creates some of the drama, and it's like, okay, we won, now we have to vote somebody in, and then you can play the whole favorites.
I would have greatly appreciated if the rules were made clear beforehand and not changed in the middle. There were things I did and said that I definitely would not have done if I had realized that the rules were going to change. I made up my mind about which teams I thought were serious threats to win challenges with 10 teams, and you know,
got it. Would you all do this again if you had the opportunity?
Yes.
Yeah,
I think so.
Yeah.
I wasn't ready to leave. You know, I don't know about you guys. When you guys were all eliminated, were you ready to leave?
Not.
I wasn't.
I could have stayed longer.
I was just getting used to the jungle.
Longer.
I'm like, damn, no, not now. Right. But I'm just used to this.
Also, I have to say, the team we worked with at Fox and Lionsgate were absolutely amazing, and I would absolutely work with them doing anything again. It was it was a great experience to be involved with.
It was.
I think I could do a lot better next time. I would. There were a lot of mistakes that I made that I think I could have improved upon, largely because I just didn't know the first thing about reality TV, and I'd love to go back and try again sometime.
One of the questions I didn't ask the other group, but I'm going to ask you all, is how was Hannah Simone as a host?
Oh, she was good. She's so fun.
Yeah.
And nice.
All right, I'll share one moment that we had when Caleb and I got knocked out. I said that I was really upset because I'd let my partner down in that final challenge and he needed the money much more than me.
Mm-hmm.
And Hannah asked what it was for, and he said, my mom has stage 4 breast cancer and I just want to take care of her and Hannah's, and eventually, you know, she said, okay, it's time for you to go, like we always had to. And then once the cameras were off, she like pulled off her headpiece and said, Caleb, come here, I know of a foundation for women with breast cancer. I'll let you
know.
Really
nice.
She's very nice. When I was eliminated, we talked a lot about my dad dying, which was kind of like the biggest hurdle for me on this show and what I was working through personally. And it got a little teary at one point, and obviously with TV, like, it's still TV, they have to do their job, so sometimes you'd have to pause and be on ice, and you have to jump back in just for camera and technical stuff.
Correct.
And she, during an off-camera moment, gave me a hug and was like, I know it's really hard for you, and I know this is a hard thing, but I'm here for you. And one thing I noticed about her is that she always took extra time with people.
She did.
And she didn't need to do that.
Really?
Because she had long days. She was, even though she did get to sleep in hotels, she had long days out in the elements too.
Mm-hmm.
And she was always very humble and very kind to everyone.
She was.
Yeah. Wow. So she was she was great to work with,
I watch New Girl on the planes now, and I... I had never watched it. I had no idea who she was when we arrived. I watched New Girl now.
Now you watch New Girl. Yeah. Now you're a fan.
I wouldn't say a fan, but I watched it on the airplane.
I'm a fan. Complete honesty.
I watched it on the airplane.
Yeah. That's dope. No, I was curious about this because I'd never seen her in that element. I just know her from New Girl and, you know, some of the other things she's done. So I was just always interested. I was like, okay, when I do these interviews, I'm going to find out how she is as a host and see how it's... Because I'm always curious to see how, when people, as a host myself, why certain people are picked for certain things.
Right.
And so, and if, what, you know, how it's portrayed on TV is how it is in real life and, you know, what kind of the story is. So it's really dope to see that she was really cool and, and the story that you gave and I think that's amazing.
Yeah,
I think that's
dope.
Really, I think that's dope. So, anybody want to say anything before we cut? They want to get off their chest?
You can follow me on Instagram and Twitter at RealMaxCar. Thank
you. We don't get on all that.
I would just say there was, you know, you're talking about moments or things that we wish had aired, and I really wish they'd shown Mike lighting that torch at the end, because that was really, that was a really important thing for him, on the whole with our challenges, is that even though we came in last on those, he finished both of them. He even after the torch was lit and they're done, he didn't stop trying, he stood up and lit that puppy anyway.
Mike was great.
So I think that, just a shout out to Mike, that he completed it, you know.
He got it done.
Yeah,
and he was for his kids, right? He definitely wanted to do this for his wife.
Trying to win his girl back.
Right. Anybody else? Anything, Nikisha?
I will say, like, I'm very grateful for the opportunity because I did have some areas that I needed to work on. And I am a firm believer, as I always say, that in order to grow, you have to be uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. And I was very uncomfortable. Yeah. So I know I had no choice but to grow. So I am grateful because I do feel like I came back a lot more clear-headed and, you know, not as scared of things as I once was, and just a lot more confident in everyday life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I'm not as particular, like when things are dirty or, you know, because we were sitting there, the food that we ate, gosh, you know, it was just over this fire and then wasn't even rinsed, and then they would take a leaf off of a tree, and then I would try to rinse my leaf off, and then you guys would just be like, oh no, leaf off tree, dirty, bugs on it, and then put your food on there with all the bugs and the dirt. Ugh. Oh my gosh. So now these days I'm so much less of a stickler about having, you know, everything just perfectly clean.
Right.
Awesome. Which is good.
Okay.
It's, you know, it took the edge off.
Absolutely. Right. Absolutely.
OCD edge.
OCD edge.
Yeah.
Well, we want to thank you all for coming.
Thank you.
And being here.
Thank you.
On our reunion show for
Kickass. Yay!
But the finale.
Bar reunion coming up. Right.
So the finale is going to air tomorrow, Thursday, on Fox at 9, 8 Central. So make sure you tune into that and see who wins of the three teams that are left over. Before we cut out, I want everybody to be able to give their social media handles so people can follow you and the fans and everything. So we'll start with Nakisha.
Okay. Mine is at Nakisha Turk, just my first and last name on every social media platform.
Awesome.
Follow me.
I have GM Sam Shankland on Facebook and GM Shanky on Twitter.
Okay.
I'm Real Max Carr, and I'm on Instagram, Twitter, Snapchat, sometimes Grindr. Just kidding. Yeah, that's me.
Word.
Mine is just Angelica Bridges, and I'm on Twitter and Instagram.
Okay.
Cool. And I'm Jesse Krebs, and with an IE on the Jesse, in Facebook. As a public figure, so you can come visit me there. Yeah. And also, I'm starting a survival school. So, seertraining.us, or you can go with the California Survival School, and there'll be a link over to my page shortly.
Awesome. Also, my website is samshacklin.com as well.
So. Awesome. That's cool. Excellent. Yeah. Well, thanks again, guys.
Thank you.
Yes. Appreciate it. And again, we will see you. Well, you got to turn in tomorrow. We'll see you tomorrow. Because we don't see them anymore.
Right.
They're going to go have a good time. That's what they're going to do. They're going to keep the reunion going. But do make sure you turn in, again, Thursdays at 9 p.m., 8 Central on Fox. So tomorrow night, it will be the finale. Three teams are going to find out who the last team is. And there it is. Until next time, peace.
Woo. Peace out.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.